I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Over at The Athletic, they have their trade deadline big board that they keep updating, and it's the top 40 players on the market as July 31st approaches. And I've, in the last couple of weeks, I've talked with Bob Nightingale and John Heyman, both very, very accomplished, tenured baseball writers. Here, I was on Mully and Haw earlier this week when I talked with John Heyman, and I was on the evening show last week when I talked with Bob Nightingale. And Bob said he sees this very much as a seller's trade deadline, that buyers are going to have to pay a hefty price for starting pitching or anything else as we approach the deadline. And when I was on with Mully on Monday morning, talking with John Heyman of USA Today, and he kind of said the same thing. Here's John Heyman earlier this week on Mully and Haw.
You know, the problem really is the number of good starting pitchers who are going to be available is very, very limited, and the number of teams that need starting pitching is very, very high. The Yankees, certainly with Clark Schmidt presumably being out for the year now, they need to get a starting pitcher. I think that almost every contending team is going to need and go for a starting pitcher. Maybe not the Phillies. They have pretty good starting pitching depth, and they're hoping Nola's back. You know, I think just the competition is keen, and you're going to have to overpay to get a Mitch Keller.
So both Heyman and, as I said, Gleeman, they both think that you're gonna have to pay a hefty price, as hefty a price as you'll ever have to pay at the trade deadline to go and get one of these starting pitchers. And I know you're always going to have to pay a high price for starting pitching, and every team that's in contention is in the market for starting pitching and or relief pitching, and usually it's both. But I also think that there are a lot of teams that expected to contend this year, and I brought this up with Grody when I was filling in on this very show a couple weeks ago. There are plenty of teams that expected to contend this year who aren't, and who have quality players on their roster, and if they're not sellers now, they will be soon. And they bring this up in this big board that I was just talking about that they have over at The Athletic, sort of tracking who are the buyers, who are the sellers, who are the major players that might hit the market. And they point out that now they've been focusing on teams whose playoff odds, according to Fangraphs, have dipped to below 30%. That's a bigger group now than it was a few weeks back, which puts a few high-profile names on that list. And quite honestly, I think that... Now, look, man, John Heyman, he talks to people in front offices. Yeah, I'm just going off what I'm seeing and what I've seen in the past when it comes to trade deadlines and who are the buyers and who are the sellers. But I'm looking all over Major League Baseball, and they talk in this article about the AL Central and the fact that the middle of the AL Central has fallen way, way behind the Detroit Tigers, including the Twins, who the Cubs saw today. You got the Royals, the Twins, and the Guardians, who all have, again, quality players on their roster who probably will not be in any sort of playoff contention, maybe the wild card, but certainly not for the division between now and the trade deadline. You can look at the AL East and the Boston Red Sox and the Orioles, even the Rays, who are over 500 and solidly in the wild card race, four games back in that division. The Marlins have some players. The Braves have some players that teams in the playoff hunt would like to nab. The Cardinals have some players on their roster that teams would be interested in should they hit the trade deadline. The Diamondbacks, another team. And when you look at this big board that they put out over there at The Athletic, man, if if you're the Cubs, and like I said, this kind of describes a lot of the teams that will be buyers at the trade deadline, but looking at the top 10 on this big board at the Athletic, it's loaded right now, and this is 3 weeks before the trade deadline. It is loaded with guys that the Cubs could use, that would come in here and immediately make them a better baseball team and improve their chances of winning a World Series. Now, at the top of the list is Jarren Duran, outfielder for the Red Sox. I think they're set at outfield. I think they're pretty good at outfield. But then after that, you got Alex Bregman, third baseman for the Red Sox. Cubs fans familiar because we all wanted the Cubs to sign him this past offseason. Seth Lugo, the starting pitcher for the Royals. Emmanuel Clase of the Guardians, their closer, one of the best closers in this league. And I know Palencia has been really, really good. Does that mean you don't try to upgrade or add to that bullpen? Whether it's pushing Palencia back or Clase comes here and plays a different high leverage role, whatever the case might be, that's a guy who should be on your radar. Sandy Alcantara from the Marlins, who has been talked about extensively here. You got Griffin Jacks, the starting pitcher, or the relief pitcher for the Minnesota Twins, who we just saw. Both of the Arizona Diamondbacks starting pitchers, Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly. All these guys are in the top 10 on this big board, this trade deadline big board over at the Athletic, and all guys who are at positions that could help the Cubs. And one, and this goes back to the caller who called before about Matt Shaw and whether they need to be looking at third base. If you can swing something for Eugenio Suarez, do it. That bat in that lineup and at third base for this Cubs team, that makes you real, real potent. That makes you...
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, the Dodgers are going to be the team in the National League that people are going to point to and pick to come out of the National League, but that puts you right on their heels when you're talking about lineup construction and the quality and the depth of this roster. And listening to Jed Hoyer, and this was on the Northside Territory podcast that The Athletic puts out, listening to Jed Hoyer, it sounds like he might agree with me that as we get closer to this deadline and activity picks up, there'll be more deals and maybe more opportunities for teams like the Cubs.
Really, the minute the draft is over now, the trade conversations really pick up. I spent the last couple of days of the All-Star break last year in Cooperstown with one of my sons, and you know, my phone is ringing off the hook. There's a lot of conversations going on, but feels more exploratory than about to get things done. In general, I guess to sort of educate the listeners, you know, the way it usually works is like people are always say they're willing to move early, but then normally the early price is really exorbitant, and therefore you end up kind of moving into closer to the deadline is usually how it works. So my expectation is that the deals will get done in the handful of days before July 31st, but you doesn't mean you don't try to make deals and try to be active in advance. You never want to take for granted where you are right now. I mean, I think that's ultimately the one thing that we know is where we are. But also, you know, you can't buy with no restrictions and then say we're going to do whatever, because you know that can be really damaging. So I think the biggest thing right now is sort of pushing our staff is be creative and come up with a lot of different ideas.
And I'm honestly, I've gotten a little impatient, especially with the Brewers nipping at the Cubs' heels, and been like, why aren't they doing something now? Why aren't they making a move now? But given what I just said and what Jed is talked about right there, I think the measured approach of waiting for the market to sort of come back to you might be the way to go. Now, Tanny and Alex were telling me before the break, I hadn't seen this rumor that the Brewers, who are right on the Cubs' heels, are one of the teams rumored to be interested in Alex Bregman. Should the Red Sox put him on the trading block? That would sting, especially if the Brewers came back and won this division with Alex Bregman playing a big role after the Cubs essentially passed on him in the offseason and came up fourth in the bidding. That would really, really sting. And in what's been a great year for Jed Hoyer in a contract year, that would be a mark against Jed Hoyer. Although I guess he's just working with whatever the Ricketts give him to work with. So I don't know how much we put that on Jed, but that would really stink. But as much as I am a little bit weary of this race and the Brewers and how close they've been to the Cubs in this race, I still think the measured approach and waiting for the seller market to grow, because I think it is going to grow, which then brings down the price on some of these guys that I was just talking about here. I think that's the way to go, because even if, and man, I hate to say this, but even if you're somehow looking up at the Brewers in the standings by the All-Star break or by the trade deadline, I wouldn't let that speed you up as far as the front office, because I'd still feel pretty good about my chances of taking this division, even if you were a game or two behind the Brewers at the deadline or at the All-Star break. And also, and Jed touched on this a couple weeks ago when he was talking to the media, you're making moves to win World Series. You're not making moves to necessarily get into the playoffs. It's not always a good idea to make moves just to get into the playoffs. You often are paying a hefty price to just go there and lose. You should be making moves because you look at your roster and you go, all right, we are an October baseball team. What do we got to do? What's the one or two pieces that we got to add that really put us in the conversation or put us over the top in the conversation of World Series contenders? That's how you should be looking at this. And so, yeah, I hear the footsteps of the Brewers, and they've been real, real good. And yeah, I look at this trade market as it sits now and that big board that I just went through, and a lot of tempting names on there and guys that I would like to see the Cubs go and get. And if they did it today at the right price, great. But I would hate for you to go and do it today and then either somebody pops up on the market who's even better and would be an even better option at that position, or you look back and you go, yeah, we maybe paid a little too much based on some of the deals that are happening now and after the seller's market widened a little bit.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.